this week on the Inside Flap.
Looking at your altar photo here, you know, looking pensive off into the woods there. It's a lovely
photo. I was like, I gotta at least, I didn't want to do like the brick wall lean, you know?
I gotta do
something a little different. Everybody tells me I gotta start smiling in them though, but I'm like, I write serious books. I'm not sure if I should be smiling.
No.
I think that's weird.
Yeah.
You're not writing romance.
Then he takes out his phone. And I'm afraid he's going to be like, well, what's your name? Right? He's like, well, who can I call right now? I need to call someone right now. I said, I don't know. I said, you can call the school in the morning. And then he goes, now I get to find out the reason why he's so upset. He goes,
The Inside Flap is available on demand and every week on iTunes, Spotify, and around the world on theinsideflap.com. What more can we do for you?
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado. This is the Inside Flap Podcast. Thank you for joining us again for this Inside Chat edition. My name is Dave Medicus, and welcome to the show. Seated across the room to my right is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
Pointing down at the English Bulldog. What are you trying to...
He wakes up right when we go to the show.
He's going to get himself...
Instead of going to the other side, he comes here where all the wires are.
Right where all the wires are. He's going to get himself tangled up. He's going to trip. He's going to pull down somebody's microphone.
He is.
And it will ruin...
the Inside Flap.
The Inside Flap for everybody.
He's not graceful.
We have a great guest for you today. We're joined by John Vercher, one again. You remember John from the last time we had him on. He is the Edgar Award winner for Best First Novel by an American author for his first book, Three Fifths. His new book out is absolutely amazing, as was his first book, but this one even more so is called After the Lights Go Out, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a second, as well as our conversation with John. But first, I got to tell you about a little incident that I had, a little encounter I had today at school.
Okay.
So there were no kids in today, but we had a lot of work to do. We have 8 days remaining until our show opens, Red Ink. We've transformed the Black Box Theater into an 1880s era Victorian parlor. And by say transform it, I mean we are in the process of transforming it.
It looks great. The photos you've shown me look amazing.
Yeah, a lot of work to do. And when it's all done, I'll put some photos online for you guys. A lot of work to do. But anyway, so we're in there getting it done. And it was about 6 o'clock at night. I'm sweeping up. We had some stuff. We're doing all the sawing in the hallway, so it doesn't get. It's just crazy. So I'm cleaning up the stuff. I'm sweeping up and getting ready to clean up and get out of there. I hear all the way from down the hall. I hear, "Sir, sir, hey, sir."
Oh no!
I turn around and this gentleman is charging towards me.
Oh gosh, Dave.
He's wearing a cycling outfit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he's got a helmet on.
Better
he's got
than
the
a
shorts.
Police uniform.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. He's got the cycling jersey on, the shoes, the whole nine yards. Well, he marches right up to me.
Okay. He has the shoes on, too.
Yeah, he's got the shoes on, too. And he's like, who do I speak to around here who's in charge? And he's angry. All right, he's angry.
Huh.
I'm like, what is going on?
Angry the guy is cyclist.
He's invading my personal space. And there's nobody in the building because there have been no students there. It's late after school. Nobody's here. I'm like, have you checked, you know, go up to the front there and check the office. I was up there. Nobody's there. Who's in charge around here? Who do I speak to who's in charge?
What is the problem?
I don't know. I'm like, and that's the thing. I don't know. So I just said...
Did he appear to be, like, normal?
Yeah, he appeared to be... Aside from the fact that he was violently angry, yes, he appeared to be normal.
You get my drift.
Yeah. He was not did not appear to be on any drugs. He also seemed to be within reason of all... He had all his faculties were intact.
That was my question.
Who's in charge? Sir, I don't know. It's and I look at my watch. I'm like, it's 6 o'clock at night. Who are you? I'm just a teacher. I don't know. I'm just cleaning up, trying to get home. Well, where's the security? I said, it's 6 o'clock at night. There's no security here. There's no kids here. It's just me and maybe a couple of custodians who are, you know, putting the finishing cleaning touches on the joint before we get out of here.
After Dave Medicus leaves.
Then he takes out his phone. And I'm afraid he's going to be like, well, what's your name? Oh. Right. He's like, well, who can I call right now? I need to call someone right now. I said, there's no, I don't know. I said, you can call the school in the morning. And then he goes, now I get to find out the reason why he's so upset. He goes, well, people are parking in the bike lane.
What?
And I wanted to like laugh in his face. I'm like, what are you?
Does he have any idea what building he charged
you
into?
You marched into East High School
at 6 o'clock in the evening.
At 6 o'clock at night, to complain about people parking in the bar. And it, meanwhile, that's the Esplanade. There's nobody drives down there. Sure, maybe some people are parked in there, but it's not like it's a busy street. It's a little block to get into City Park. It's not
that
a busy street.
Weird.
People don't go driving down the Esplanade to get into City Park. They come down York. Or Josephine.
Also,
or
this is a high school. How did he get in?
That's what I'd like to know. I don't know how he got in.
Security issue.
He's charging all around, trying to.
What does he think this building is?
I don't know. And I don't know what
Did he know it was a high school?
Yeah, he had to have known it was a high school.
Yeah, but don't you think it's strange that he would have thought people would still be there at 6 o'clock?
I thought it was incredibly strange that he's going to come in and get some answers as to why people are parking in
the
bike lane.
Normal like bank or whatever, people aren't there at 6.
Yeah, and I don't know who's parking there because there was nobody in the school. So I don't know if it's just people enjoying the park at night who are parking in there. Like, just because they're in front of the school,
was it dark
nobody
out
there.
Though? Was it dark outside
No,
yet?
It wasn't dark yet, no.
It could have been someone out for a walk or a run.
Yeah, I don't know. So
that's weird.
It was strange. What did you say? I said, call the school in the morning. And then I turned around and walked into the bike box.
I would have said, it's probably not anyone with the school, friend.
Well, I should have gone. My friend Dave Thomas said, what I should have done is given him Andrew Dowd's number. Here's our head of parking and security.
God.
His name is Andrew
Dowd.
That's
exactly what you should have done.
Well, he also said, I should have said, yes, I have the number. It's 867-53. That's also what I should have done. But,
Andrew Dowd's number.
Yeah.
That's funny. We should also mention Andrew Dowd is taking his family down to Disney World.
Yes,
for a
that's right.
Fall
so
break.
We
vacation.
Will have a couple inside chats for you this week, and he'll be back joining us for a full show next week. But anyway, let's get on with this particular show.
Yeah, so we talked to John this morning.
Yes, we did.
And in the discussion, we talk about concussions and head injuries, mm-hmm. In particular with MMA fighters.
That's right.
And just today, so there's this one, it's the biggest job site I'm on right now. Big job.
Right.
And there is a tradesperson there who works by himself. Don't want to say what he does because it's very specific and it's possible. I just don't want to hurt his way of living.
Okay.
He is odd. I have encountered him
He's a piano player.
Yeah. I've encountered him 3 times at the job site. Once I was by myself and I was a little weirded out, but I had been warned by the client about this guy. Hmm. And so then I definitely realized, oh, he's odd. She had told me he was a pothead.
Okay.
And right. So big pothead, always stoned.
All right.
So I met him.
We get that a little bit around here in Colorado.
Yeah. And especially with this, like certain trades. So I met him. He acted oddly.
Yeah.
Didn't smell pot though, but I thought, well, maybe it's gummies.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe it's edibles.
What do I know?
But usually the potheads, you can smell it on
them. Yeah, didn't smell
it.
Because
they just reek.
I've encountered him another time, had another very odd interaction with him. Mm. Again, didn't smell anything on him, but it was an odd interaction to the point where I was a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Then the third time, the last time, really busy job site, and he's in the kitchen. I tried to avoid him, couldn't avoid him. Had another, even more odd and confusing conversation with the man. And then I leave and I talk to Evan, who's my go-to guy, worked on many jobs with Evan. I trust him. I said, hey, Evan, what's the deal with this guy? I said, you know, I'm kind of uncomfortable around him. And Evan's like, oh yeah. He said, I try to avoid him whenever I can. He makes me really uncomfortable too. Mm-hmm. So we laughed and chatted about that and I felt better about it. Then I talked to the client today. I said, hey, what's up with, you know, this guy? And she goes, oh, I just got into a yelling match with this guy on the phone.
Whoa.
She said, he started yelling at me for like, not a big deal, but kind of, his anger came out in a way, she said, I wouldn't necessarily call it irrational, but she said it was explosive, way out of proportion.
Right, out of proportion.
Out of proportion anger. Yeah. And then he thinks that this GC is out to get him and is purposely like putting things in his way to so that he can't do his job.
Okay.
She and I both know this GC pretty well.
Right.
He is the last guy that would ever do anything like that because he doesn't care that much. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like he's never in a million years going to try to stop someone from doing their job.
Okay.
He's very easygoing. And so then, but then she said, so then later in the conversation, she said it took another turn. And then he shared with me that he had been an MMA fighter. And she said, and then I realized I'm talking to someone who has significant brain damage.
How crazy is that? We were just talked to John this morning.
So I knew exactly. As soon as she said, I learned that he had been an MMA fighter. Right, I thought, that's
that
it.
That explains it.
That was it. Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And so now, listen, like he's a young guy. He's younger than I am. I'm going to say early 30s. And like he's going to have trouble holding a job down.
Yeah.
Because he's been, his brain is damaged.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a fascinating talk we have with John, who is a former, who trained in MMA and actually had a fight. So you'll hear us talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
And you'll hear us talk a lot about the book. I'll tell you a little bit about it. This book, and of course the name of the book is After the Lights Go Out. It tells the story of Xavier Scarecrow Wallace, who is an aging mixed martial arts fighter currently serving a one-year suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, but is hopeful that that suspension will be lifted shortly and he will get another shot at a professional fight. Xavier is also fighting memory loss due to his time in the ring, and echoing that storyline is his own father's battle with dementia. Now, his father is having some extremely painful things happen to him. He's having his own battles. His father, who is white, and Xavier's mother is black. Now, all of a sudden, his father is insulting Xavier and seems to be saying things that Xavier can't imagine him having these kinds of feelings. But it is really painful for him to have to go through this. Now, this book is extremely dark. It is noir at its core. There is a crime element to it as well. And I did enjoy the character of Shot, who is his cousin slash trainer, and he has a very interesting backstory as well. There's also a very timely book, as there's been a lot of talk about concussions. There's always a lot of talk, but even more so now. This is one of the best books I have read so far this year.
You could not stop talking about it when you finished it.
It's so well written. Yeah. It's so...
In fact, we were relaxing in the hot tub. You come out and you tell me the whole plot line.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I was like, hang on here. I want to read it too.
You were trying to relax.
Hold on. Don't tell me the whole story. Yeah, I'm going to read it.
It is so good. You'll hear what it did to me. Yeah. You'll hear my my blurb for John on the show, but it's just gut-wrenching. It's so well done. The characters are so richly drawn. He has such a great way with dialogue. Just so great. I cannot recommend this book highly enough. Go out and get it. It is called When the Lights Go Out. It is out, available right now. And take a listen to our chat with John. Always great to talk to him. We had a great conversation. And here that is for you right now. This is John Bircher. John, this book is so amazing. So good. It really tore the shit out of me. So, you know, kudos. If that was your intention, which I hope it was, I think it was, to make me
Can I get that as a blurb? That's amazing.
It tore the shit out of me, yes. Put that right. I think you're doing just fine in the blurb department. I don't think you need one from that.
I don't know. That one's pretty damn good. I'll take that. That is emotional. That is unvarnished opinion.
That's right. But listen, John, this is seriously your book. After Lights Go Out. There's a brilliantly written, emotional gut punch of a novel. The story of MMA, CTE, and sauna suits. Sauna suits, John. John, what was it that inspired you to write this book?
So it was on a couple of different fronts, based on a variety of life experiences, honestly. So I've been a martial arts kid since, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, but I was a martial arts kid, starting probably as early as, you know, 7 or 8 years old, watching Kung Fu Theater every Saturday. And that obsession got, you know, got boosted with Karate Kid. Now I'm really dating myself, you know, because after the Karate Kid, yeah, like everybody just started flooding Taekwondo studios. But what was interesting about martial arts for me is when I started Taekwondo and I really like actually started training, being a mixed race kid, I was constantly on the look for a place where I belonged. Okay. And the mats and the dojo and the studio felt like that place. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't have to think about identity there, and not for like the cliched reasons where people are like, well, we all put on the same uniform and we're all the same person. Like, not that there aren't elements of that in when people talk about that, but for me it was just a different level. There was just something about, like, I was kind of good at it, like in a, and I just didn't have to think about those things. Right. So it was very easy for me to be like, you know, you never had to twist my arm to go train. It was like, I can't wait for the next session.
Yeah.
But then, you know, college came and then beer and parties and, you know, like, so I'd gone through all through high school. I got my brown belt in Taekwondo, but then I stopped training all through college. Mm. And that carried over into my late 20s, got horribly out of shape. Couldn't find a way to get back in shape. Started seeking out martial arts again. Mm. Particularly because, like, the Ultimate Fighter had that reality series was really starting to break through.
Right.
MMA.
Right. Yeah.
MMA was moving out of the VHS dark ages to, you know, a little bit more mainstream. You know, that just kind of called to me again. But I had never done mixed martial arts. I had never done jiu-jitsu, and I'd only done the traditional Taekwondo.
Right.
So I went to train. And the way Taekwondo had gotten in my blood, MMA was just a whole other level. Like, the obsession was just complete, to the point where I was like, I think I want to try to compete in this. Wow. Like, I don't know why, but I think I want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So long story short, too late. 6 kickboxing and 1 amateur MMA fight later, I was training, you know, I had trained for almost 10 years. I now train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Wow.
Been doing that for, almost 7 or 8 years with that too. But being in that environment, you get to see the kind of darker side of this
right.
stuff too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even though I was what I call a tourist, you know, I wasn't trying to do this professionally.
Right.
I was around people that were. And even as an amateur, you engage in the weight cutting and the double days of training and all that kind of stuff, because you know, amateur or not, you still don't want to lose. So, you know, but you also see the effects of the people that are doing this, you know, trying to make a living at it. And it's hard, you know, and you see people with early effects of concussions. My other life at that time was physical therapy. I was a sports medicine physical therapist.
Oh, okay.
But I had also spent time in skilled nursing homes. I had spent time in home care. So I'd worked not only with post-concussion patients, but also dementia patients,
mm-hmm.
You know, the age-specific, like, geriatric patients. So to me, I was seeing this connection between those two worlds, even though it's not, like, a really common connection.
Yeah.
Not one you would immediately think of. That's what started to plant that seed of a story. And then over years, it kind of developed into what became After the Lights Go Out. That was a really long answer. I'm sorry.
That was a great answer,
yeah. John.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's interesting. Thanks. To me, when you're in that world and you're in the gym and you're seeing these guys and you're seeing the effects of the concussion, like, what do y'all do? Do you like whisper about them behind their backs? Do you just shake your head in sympathy? Do you try to talk to them? I mean, how does that work?
I mean, fortunately, I didn't see it at that level, you know, but sometimes even the idea of it was kind of like, well, you know, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, at least while you're in it and involved in it. And I think that's, you know, now having some distance from it, that's kind of, you know, it's a rationalization, obviously, you know, because for some people who are trying to do this for a career, that might be the thing that they're good at. And that is their means of making a living, which is ironic because of what it does to,
right,
to shorten your life.
Yeah.
And that was part of the main idea behind the book is, to me, I'm questioning, you know, my love for combat sports and our collective love for not just combat sports, but football and hockey and all of these sports where concussive blows are part of the package. But I'm questioning it because, like, I still watch it. I still love it, you know, like, but I know what it does.
I know
the effects that it has, but I don't stop watching it and we don't stop watching it. So it's, I don't have an answer to that question, but the book was an attempt to ask that question, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah. I like how, you know, the main character, Xavier, so his cousin, who was also a fighter at one point and is now training him, he puts it as like, well, this is kind of like, as you're experiencing these symptoms, this is it. This is the bill coming due.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what they're in for. And I've heard football players talk about it before. They know that the sport they love, that they're an active and willing participant in, is going to shorten their life. And yet they continue to do it. And as you said, it's more popular than ever. Every single,
we watch it.
Yeah. Every TV show, you know, you can look at the top 20 shows in a given year and every single one is an NFL game.
Yep.
And UFC is bigger than ever.
Exactly.
It's you know, it's an interesting and strange development because we all shake our heads and say, oh, this sport is too violent. This is too violent. And then there's, you know, penalties handed out and they say, well, why, that's not a penalty. You just tackled the guy. Well,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And then look at what happened. What's the Dolphins quarterback?
Tua. Yeah.
Tua. I mean, that was
awful.
When I saw somebody sent me that link and it was,
it's hard to watch. Killing.
It's really hard to killing. Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That posturing, that's more than a concussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some serious brain damage.
Yeah. That's typically, that's typically the brain stem, not the brain, which is, I mean, that's, yeah. So,
yeah.
But, you know, everybody was tuning in next week.
Yep.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. And I just heard something on a podcast that our brains are like soft butter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was that soft. In my head, it was like, I don't know, a piece of pork.
Yeah. Yeah. People feel, you know, because this was true when I was a physical therapist. We have anatomy lab, and one of the things you see a brain outside of the skull, but they tell you that the brain outside of the skull is nothing like the brain inside the skull.
Oh.
You know, so when it's outside of the skull, it's much more dense. Inside, it's very like gelatin like. And so it slides. So concussions don't come from head impact. They come from the neck whipping. And what happens is the brain knocks off the sides of the skull and bleeds. And so because the brain is so liquid, like, I mean, there's also, that's where dehydration has a big effect, right? So if you're going into an event dehydrated, like a lot of these fighters are, you know, there's even less protection, less natural protection in the head because they've robbed their body of water to make weight.
Oh gosh.
And yet, the way you write, I'm thinking of the scene towards the end when Xavier's training for the battle and he's going for the water, but he needs to cut weight. I've never read a book where I'm screaming at the main guy, don't drink the water. You know, the water's not poison. He needs the water. I'm like, don't drink the water. No. It's like he's going for booze or something. It's just
It tastes like it. It is as satisfying as booze when you're dehydrating. Like I used to do grappling tournaments and, you know, you cut weight. And it's almost like cutting weight is almost like the steroids argument, right? Like there's like at this point, guys that take steroids or athletes that take steroids, it's almost just to like level the playing field. Like it's not even, you know what I mean? Like it's
right.
The competitive advantage is not necessarily there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like cutting weight, like everybody's cutting weight. Mm. But so like if you decide you're going to go in at your natural weight, where there's a guy in your division who knows how to cut 30 pounds, 30 pounds,
wow.
you know, and come in, you know, that and come in that weight fight day. Wow. So it's almost like you have to do it just to stay even.
Wow.
And you put on that sauna suit. Have you thrown on a sauna suit or two? Mm-hmm. I had to look it up mm-hmm. to see what they look like. I mean, I've seen them in movies and stuff, but I just had to yep. double check and just sweat it out.
They are as miserable as you can imagine. and again, I'm speaking as an amateur. Like that was right, just yeah, that. Yeah. That's, sure. That was yeah.
Wow. You also touch on police brutality in the book, and one character in particular has just a life-altering experience, an encounter with the police. Is this an issue that you always wanted to be part of the story?
Yeah, I think in this sense, I was trying to make a statement, too, about how class becomes a part of that discussion, in particular the confrontation scene, because you know Xavier is in a world of trouble in that scene when the cops arrive at his house. But the minute he's recognized as a fighter, the situation changes completely, almost completely. You know, it's completely dialed down. So it really, you know, I think too often in discussions of race and in terms of policing of Black people and policing of people in color in general, like there's we somehow leave that class discussion out of it too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's relevant. And it's something that I felt the trajectory, as I was writing the trajectory of this story sort of naturally felt like it could go that way because Shot is the character. I don't want to give anything away.
Right. We don't want
he's obviously been affected by that as well, which was sort of my tribute to Jack Johnson. But, but yeah, that was certainly something I felt was going to be part of the narrative pretty early on.
Mm-hmm. And you do write so eloquently about race. And again, just like in Three Fifths, we have this character who's struggling with his own racial identity, too. And, you know, clearly it's something that's important for you and close to you to write about. And it's just you just do it so well and it just comes off so naturally. And this doesn't, you know, it just seems like it's part of him and we feel him. But speaking of him, his monologue, you write in this book, and some of them are, I don't know if you always set it out like this, but some of them are in bold, and that's like his inner demon yelling at him. Some are italicized, some are confused ramblings. I mean, are those monologues, do you read them out loud, do you say them out loud, are they hard for you to write, are they easy? It's really great the way you tap into him.
They were kind of fun, weirdly. I probably shouldn't say that. But,
no, you really shouldn't, because he says some dark shit.
I mean, sometimes you got to let it go, you
That's
know?
True.
I mean, that was part of the motivation behind that was the consideration of these athletes who have, you know, sadly taken their lives as a result of CTE.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to wonder kind of what were they hearing? Like what was going on in their head that brought them to that step or other steps? You know, one of the most tragic stories of that is Chris Benoit, the WWE wrestler who not only killed himself, but his entire family.
Yeah.
You have to wonder about what's talking to them. You know, do they, I mean, and auditory hallucinations are a part of dementia and CTE and things like that. So, you know, I wanted to explore the idea of what it would be like for your frontal lobe to be completely unfiltered and talking to you. You know, because to me that made sense especially for someone who may not be familiar with CTE or concussions, you know, why someone would engage in this kind of sporadic behavior where there's rage and there's confusion and there's, you go from anger to tears. It's just, you know, it's so all over the board. So that was sort of my attempt to make that a little more clear, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was also that avenue for me to ask that question about violence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, like why do we listen to it? Why do we watch it? Because some people do rationalize it. Like it's part of our DNA. It's you know, it's our caveman instinct or our cave person instinct, you know, like, but is that really? Like, is I mean, is are we not capable of more than that? So I guess that was that was sort of the vehicle for asking that question.
Yeah, and it's ironic that a lot of these guys get into it, as you say in the book, to kind of channel their anger and make something productive out of it, and then they engage in an activity that just ends up making them, you know, full of rage, you know, in some cases.
Yeah.
And you also have a lot in here about family relations. You know, Xavier's really struggling with his relationship with his dad. Who's suffering from dementia, which we've talked about. And he says some terrible things to his son. And I'm getting, that dementia, that it's a damage to the brain with dementia. And there's a lot of parallels that are interesting, but just really sad. Were those scenes just really hard to write? Were you taking a breather after you wrote those scenes?
I wish I could say yes, but unfortunately those things were, I mean, ripped right from real life. Those, you know, my wife still works in the nursing home. And I've done a number of book events where I had white readers come up to me and say, this is exactly what my father did. And they're like, and I didn't, you know, they were always so surprised. They said, you know, my father, my mother, they never uttered a word like this, never said a racist word to anyone, at least in our presence kind of thing. She said, but when they got into the home, it was just, they were a different person. And the, you know, part of the tragedy of that is, I think the statistic is somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of healthcare workers in nursing homes are Black women.
Oh my goodness.
You know, while they're trying to help these patients preserve their dignity, they're having theirs challenged or threatened because, you know, these filters are off and things get said.
Tough to read, but you know, just extremely powerful stuff. But I mean, John, I mean, how do you? So you write all this terrible stuff, but then you gotta bring a dog. And I don't mean terrible. That sounds, let's strike that from the record.
It's hard life stuff.
Yes, exactly. But, John, you're gonna bring a dog into it, and then we gotta worry about the dog. Come on, you know those dogs are off the table. You can't write about dogs like that. I was so worried. I know, no spoilers alert. We don't want to talk about what happened to the dog, but,
No, because we gotta at least put it out there that the dog lives, because I've gotten so matter of fact, I think like every other podcast I've been on, they've been like, let's clarify, the dog makes it.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. You know,
we don't care about the guy.
That's right. We don't care. We just care about that pet. Yeah.
Low-key. Well, so it's funny. There were a couple of people that were like, "Are you sure you want to do that?" But so here's the thing. I started because Three Fifths was like really embraced by the crime community, which was a surprise to me because I didn't realize that I had written a crime novel. You know, I thought I had just written this character based drama and there was a crime in it. But it was amazing because I mean, the reception from the crime community was incredible. I'm extremely grateful for that. But that created an internal pressure for me when I started writing the next book, was like, I think I got to write a crime and so I started writing After the Lights Go Out with this character as a crime novel, and I got about 20,000 words into it, and I hated it. It was not the book I was meant to write. You know, but it still started with like a body in a trunk and the smell and all this kind of stuff, and so I was like, that's just not working. So I, you know, my thought was, how do I immediately let people know what kind of trouble this guy is in? It's not a progressive thing. Like we're in it. This is it. And now he is in bad shape already. That to me was the most clear and obvious choice, was the involvement of the dog in the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Switching gears from something fun. So Xavier's walkout song is DMX.
Yeah.
What would your walkout song be, John?
I was actually fortunate enough to have a walkout song. Yeah. That was very cool. So my one and only amateur MMA fight was Renegades of Funk. It was the remake by Rage Against the Machine.
Awesome. I love that song. I love that song. Great choice. Yeah.
Yeah, they it's funny. I don't think the promotion that I did it under, they don't I don't think they do. They went back to doing only kickboxing. I don't think they do the MMA stuff anymore. But for this one event, they even had like lights and there was a little bit of smoke on the ground. Like, it was so cool. Now, of course, I didn't get any of that recorded other than so a friend of ours recording the fight from like the stands.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was that was that was a goosebumps inducing moment. That was pretty cool.
Wow. Well, that's awesome.
Now, John, we got to know, what was the outcome of the fight?
First round submission. I got it.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I messed it up really badly in the beginning. Like, I went to shoot a takedown on the guy and tried to lift him up and fell over backwards. but was able to reverse position and then, made my way to the submission. But yeah, did not start off well at all. which in my mind I was like, yeah, this is about what I expected. Yeah, this is how I thought it would go.
That's awesome.
Your workout routine though as a writer? So you're sitting for large amounts of the day, I imagine. How do you stay in shape? How do you get yourself out there?
Well, so I kind of write in sprints. Like, okay. I don't a page or a paragraph or two, and then I got to get up and move around. Like, I can't sit that long.
Wow.
But we, right before the pandemic, like kind of just ironically, we got a pretty decent weight set. I've got a heavy bag. Now that I'm, I'm quadruple vaccinated at this point. So I still go to jujitsu. I carve the time out just to get it done. Having kids kind of helps because we get up early.
Yeah.
I can knock it out before I need to get other stuff done.
Yeah. I was curious about that. That's interesting.
They don't make you cut weight for author signings, for book signings. You don't have to.
Thank God. No, not yet. But
what's the most weight?
I should show up to one in a sauna suit just to see what people say. What are
John,
you
gotta do that. Come on, man. Why isn't your look? You guys looking at your author photo here. You're showing off the guns, but you're not wearing looking pensive off into the woods. There, it's a lovely photo.
Like that? I was like, I gotta at least. I didn't want to do like the brick wall lean. I gotta do something a little different.
Yeah, that's funny.
What are you thinking about there, John, in that photo?
Probably wondering if this looks ridiculous or if I should have done the brick wall.
No, it's a badass photo. I love it. I love it. I think it's
everybody tells me I got to start smiling in them though, but I'm like, I write serious work. I'm not sure if I should be smiling.
You can't. No.
I think that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not writing romance. You're fine.
Yeah, I don't want to be like, that's exactly. Sure, that won't translate to the podcast. But I did thumbs up.
You did
big
the double thumbs up. Yeah, the double thumbs up. But but you do have some humorous banter in here, especially with the fighters. So,
I write dark stuff, but I like to laugh.
Yeah, exactly. We all like to have a little fun, for goodness sakes. Yeah. God's sakes. Why does it? Let me ask you this. I was curious about this. I didn't understand. Why does Xavier drink distilled water?
I'm not even sure if I have the right answer for that, but that was almost like it was kind of everybody else was doing it. So I just did it like when we were cutting weight. But I do think it has something to do with the quality of the water. It makes it easier to either sweat it out or I'm honestly not sure. I don't know if it's because there's less heavy minerals in it, that kind of thing. I'm almost kind of ashamed to admit, like, I don't know. Just everybody else was doing it when I was training and they were like, you make sure you're drinking distilled water before you cut it. Okay.
That makes sense though. There's no chlorine or anything like that in it.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pure.
You can obtain it. Yeah. Do you act out these fight scenes that you're writing? Mm. Do you try to figure out, like, do you get your wife and be like, honey, I need you to sit in here.
No, hit me with an uppercut. Let's see how it feels.
Yeah.
No, I mean, luckily I've been training long enough that I felt like I could create realistic scenes.
Yeah.
One of my beefs with combat sports movies is a lot of times, even if the story is really good, sometimes the scenes just don't feel realistic. Either they're hitting each other with these huge shots for like rounds upon upon rounds. And it's like, it doesn't happen that way. Like, one good shot is all it takes. So I really wanted to try to recreate on the page what it felt like to be in an actual, you know, professional fight where there's, you know, there's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of feeling out. There's not every blow is intended to be the knockout blow or the move that ends the fight. So, it was a lot of mental rehearsal, but no actual, no takedowns of the misses or anything.
That's good. Let's get that out there for sure. All right. I've been to several MMA events. I got a friend who's a big fan. So we went. We've been out to Vegas a couple of times for the big. The big events. But all I can remember is the guy who, when he wins, he gets up on the rope and then someone throws him a shoe and then he pours beer in the shoe and he drinks a beer. Have you seen this guy?
Calls it a shoey. Is his name.
That's it. Yeah. We saw him fight. He was a character. Yeah.
Oh, he's a monster.
Yeah. He's huge. Yeah. He's massive. Yeah. All right, John, it's time now for our segment we call Quick Six. These are six quick questions, which we find out just a little bit more about you. Here we go.
Wait a minute. This is new.
That's right.
We do this last time?
We evolved. No, we did not do this last time.
I feel like I should have been prepped for this. What is happening here?
It's like a sneak jab attack. You know, we faint with the right, come at you with the left. That's what we're doing here.
All right, a little bobbing and weaving.
All right, here we go. What is the last show you watched or binged and really enjoyed?
Atlanta.
Oh, I love Atlanta. I'm not the season. Yeah.
I was watching the new season just last night. Yeah, I did. When you went to bed.
I go to bed.
I stayed up late watching it. There's some really good episodes in this.
Best writing in television that show.
Yeah, I love Paperboy. Episode that features him. Oh my God.
It's funny you say that. That's exactly who I picture playing Shot in the movie. If we ever get to that point.
Yes.
I would love, I wrote it with him in mind. So fingers crossed. If you're listening, Paperboy.
Come on. Come through, Paperboy. Come through.
Ryan Tyree Henry. Come on, man.
Oh, that's really funny. I'm a big Lakeith fan, actually.
Oh, yeah. Lakeith's great.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's so funny.
What fictional world or place would you like to visit? And we'll let you back in if it's dangerous.
I don't know. Most fictional worlds are pretty dark and dystopian.
They are. I know.
Is this just books or is this like...
No, it can be movies too. Movies.
Oh, got to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's easy.
You're a big Marvel guy. I forgot about
that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's awesome. Who are you seeking out first?
Who am I? In the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, these are the hard-hitting questions that
I think the Watcher, believe it or not, the guy that gets to oversee the entire universe and all the multiverse stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm more of a sit back and observe kind of guy. Okay. I think I would actually really that'd be kind of cool.
Okay,
All right,
I like that. How about this, John? Give us one of your top five favorite movies of all time. One of your top five favorite movies.
Oh man. That's really hard because I'm a big movie guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to go back to Do the Right Thing. That was especially because my dad took me to see that in the theater. Mm. And it was just a cool experience with my dad. Oh, but it was also great. It's still one of the best screenplays ever written.
It is.
That's probably number one.
Yeah. Great. How about a top five favorite book?
That's also really hard.
We're gonna have some easy ones right after this.
That's probably a tie. Salvage the Bones by Jesmyn Ward.
Oh yeah.
And Loving Day by Matt Johnson.
I don't know that one.
That book is laugh out loud funny, but also extremely poignant.
Okay, great, good one.
But yeah, they're probably two of my favorite living authors, and those books are amazing.
Cool. How about this? Here's a softball for you, John. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Go-to karaoke song. I can't say I do a lot of karaoke, but I do remember a birthday event probably 15 years ago at this point where after a number of shots, I did me and one other person did Love Shack. I nailed it. So I guess that would probably have to be it because that's the only one I can
that's really funny.
Forget about the video of your fight. I need to see video of that karaoke before.
Yeah, I kind of actually wish somebody had done it because, like, my impersonation was pretty dead on. If I do say so myself.
That's all right. Awesome. Last but not least, what book are you currently reading?
Believe it or not, Song of Solomon. I've not read all of Toni Morrison's. I've read a lot of it, but I have not read that. And it's, you know, as expected, blowing my mind. But it's fantastic.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's
great. Speaking of fantastic books, John, After the Lights Go Out. Good God. So good. So good. I'll say it again. It tore. I'm not tell anybody. I don't give a shit. It tore the shit out of me. Look at where I'm eviscerated, John.
I'm getting tatters. That on the paper, the paperback. I'm hitting them up today. And be like, can we put this on the front?
Like, we need to make that happen.
Amazing.
Send this to Paperboy also.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, John. Great to talk to you.
You too. This was just as fun as last time, if not more so.
All right. Very good. Well, that's what we. Well, now we had the quick six. So yeah, of course it's.
I liked it. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
All right. Good. Next time it'll be the quick seven or the slow seven. All right, John. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye bye. The Inside Flap. All right. There you go. Thank you so much to John Vercher. Once again, check out that book. It is When the Lights Go Out. You will not regret it. Definitely, this will go down as one of my top five favorite books of the year, for sure. Maybe even favorite of the year. Who knows? Mm. It's in the running. It is in the running. So good. I love this stuff. I love this first book, and I really love this one as well. All right, that'll do it for us this week. We'll see you back later for an inside chat. Until then, see ya.
Adios.
People are parking in the bike lane.